With all of the regulations on contractors either established or in the works, companies are tempted to let someone else do their federal selling for them. Even if you use resellers and other third parties, you're not off the hook. Think twice about contractor exit or Crexit. So says Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And do you run across many people, Larry, that are thinking Crexit?
I am, Tom. I'm running into companies today who are looking at increasing rules affiliated with doing government business, increasing exposure of potentially proprietary information, a flat federal market overall in many industry segments. And they're saying, you know, this is a lot of cost and a lot of time for us with not a great return. Why don't we just let some specialized company who really knows about government business hold our contract for us? We can get rid of all of our federal apparatus and go on and just have a great commercial life. That sounds good on paper, but there's a reality behind that that's a little bit more dangerous.
All right, and what is that reality?
Well, the reality is, Tom, is that whether or not you are deemed a supplier or a subcontractor, here's a hint, the government decides which one they get to call you, you are at risk so long as you're providing products to a federal contractor to be sold into the government market, or if you're providing pricing or cost information about what your company does to another company that ends up getting a prime contract, at least partially based on the information you've provided them. And it's a false sense of security, I find, Tom, for companies who say, look, we're going to set it and forget it. Kind of like Ron Popeil. We're going to have somebody else bake the chicken for us. And they don't pay attention to what's going on in the government market. They don't pay attention to the fine print that comes in with the forms that they have to fill out for their prime contractor partner. And they should. So what I find is that, look, even though it's difficult for federal prime contractors to keep track of all their responsibilities, at least they know. And they do. Most contractors make some effort to be compliant. If you are, on the other hand, operating under a sense that we're not selling anything directly, so we're fine, when and if a problem develops, the penalties and outcome could be much more severe for your company because you didn't really understand that you still have an obligation to ensure that whatever information your prime contractor gets from you is accurate, and that all the products and whatnot that you're providing to that contractor meet the government rules in terms of things like secure supply chain or source of supply.
Well, I wonder if there is any variation in the fact of some companies, for example, that are direct prime contractors. You were the contractor or the sub promised on a prime contract because of some particular service or product you can deliver to the government, versus a company who is just going through a large reseller and maybe selling, I don't know, desks or something, which probably has supply chain implications nowadays or labor category types of restrictions. And that company sells to commercial and it sells to government, and some shipment you sent to it happens to end up with the government. Are you still on the hook to the degree that you are when you are a direct subcontractor on a prime as the bid subcontractor?
Well, we tackled this issue when I was at the Coalition for Government Procurement, Tom, trying to get the government to give us a delineation between somebody that's a mere supplier and somebody who's a subcontractor. Not surprisingly, the government wouldn't give us a hard and fast definition of what constituted one versus the other. And in practice, what we've seen is that means that, look, you may call yourself a supplier, but if the government finds that there's been a problem with your prime contractor and they need to get deeper into the problem, they need to get satisfaction. Frankly, sometimes they might be looking for deeper pockets. You're going to be classified as a subcontractor. And as we know, many prime contractor clauses and contracts flow down to subcontractors, including things like the right to access your sales records and other company pricing policies, the right to make sure that you were implementing proper secure supply chain requirements. So there's not a tremendous difference. The difference really comes in, Tom, in a practical sense, is when there's a problem. And if there's a problem and the government wants to find a way to get to you, the chances are they will find that path. And if you're not paying attention, then, again, it could be a situation where you're caught unprepared. No situation where you're caught unprepared is good for you, whether it's contracting, losing the football pool in the office, or whatever else it is. You want to be prepared.
We're speaking optimistically with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And also in your post this week, you, in a related issue, you talk about acquisition reform. And the idea is be careful what you ask for, because some of the reforms have made things tougher on contractors. And now there's people saying maybe we ought to re-reform some of these reforms.
That's right. We first started to see some serious attempt at acquisition reform, Tom, in the current fiscal year's 2016 Defense Authorization Act, where DOD now has slightly fewer rules, a little bit more flexibility in terms of its own acquisition. And the idea was that more acquisition reform would follow this year or perhaps next. And when you wave the flag of acquisition reform, everybody really does stand up and salute, Tom, because really, who wouldn't be in favor of fewer rules, better governing business principles, more market participation, more competition, things of that nature? And yet, the flag of acquisition reform today, I think, could have another side to it, another side that maybe looks a little bit like the Jolly Roger. When you look at what happens today in government market, in the government market, you have mistakes that are made that inevitably end up with oversight hearings, at least in the House, sometimes in the Senate, which leads Congress to having its own ideas of what acquisition reform might look like. Here's the hint. It doesn't look anything like what the rest of us in government acquisition think it should look like. In a partisan environment where you have a gotcha mentality on people who are stepping out of line even a little bit, this may not be the best environment in which we could pursue what people in the acquisition community would actually recognize as being an improvement via reform process.
So it sounds like something we'll have to wait for maybe for next year at this point, especially with Congress out for basically most of the rest of the fiscal year.
Well, we're certainly right. We're certainly looking at next year, if for no other reason than we're out of time for this year. But I also think that before people in the acquisition community, both government and industry, push forward with a package of proposed reforms, that we fully understand the environment in which we're operating. Now, maybe next winter we'll be in a better environment. It'll be slightly less gotcha, a little bit more willing to listen to business cases. But we have to make sure that when we're proposing change, that we're doing it within an environment that will foster the change we actually want to see.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks so much.
Tom, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and I wish your listeners good luck.
Read more and share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.